Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Hello to all you beautiful people who have joined here again today for No BS Bishop. I'm Randy Dean. It is my purpose to bring to you a minimum amount. In fact, my goal is a zero amount of BS. I want to bring you as much truth and honesty and contemplative voice as I possibly can. I do not want to offer anything manipulative or shame-bearing or a sense of you should or you shouldn't, but just a profound sense of what goes to the heart. And I've always heard that if I speak from my heart, I'll reach a heart. So today, in the middle of our ongoing quarantine here in the United States, I feel a contemplative sense about me. I just want to contemplate. I want to carry some thoughts from my heart to yours on the basis of love. The theme of this broadcast has been and will continue to be, I'm a No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love are potential BS. So I'm going to hold my value of love high. I'm going to hold it up as high as I possibly can. I'm going to unpack and milk the value and the beauty of love for all it is worth. I'm convinced that most of us, and myself included, who have felt like we know what love is, probably have barely begun to discover the wilderness, the beautiful wilderness, the woods and the trees and the ocean of love. So my point, my goal, my purpose, especially here on this broadcast, is to speak from my heart, my experiences, and to give you everything I know how to give you at my stage in life of what I believe love really will do to transform not only yourself, but the world around you. I wrote something some time ago. It's a simple phrase, but it's based on the truths of 1 Corinthians 13. We all know 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter of the Bible. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. All of those qualities. Usually we hear 1 Corinthians 13 read in a wedding ceremony. The perfect place for it really is. But not to burst your bubble or anything, but Paul did not write 1 Corinthians 13 as a wedding verse scripture. He wasn't thinking, gosh, what would sound pretty when two people get married? I know. Let's talk about love. Actually, Paul was correcting the church in Corinth. He was scolding them in an apostolic way about their practices toward communion, their practices of the spiritual gifts. He was seeing a rolling chaos in that baby church, and he wanted to bring some correction to it. And the way he brought correction was the what we've come to know now as the love chapter. Isn't that interesting? How when the rough and tumble, the tough guy, the Apostle Paul, who, oh my goodness, this guy endured so much pain in his life for the preaching of the gospel, that when it comes down to correcting a church, to giving a church, you know, what for, you know, get over here, let's go to the woodshed kind of word, what did he do? He pulls out this diamond mind of truth. And it became known for us as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. So I want to read something out of my own inspiration from those words from the Apostle Paul that has been a part of my value system in my exploration of love. And here it is. Love's beauty is the freedom to see beyond ourselves. Love lives large because love is not afraid of who is right and who is wrong. That comes from the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, love does not vaunteth itself, as the the old King James. He said, love doesn't rejoice in being right. Love rejoices in what is right. Love rejoices in the truth. Love doesn't rejoice when I'm the truth, when I carry the truth, when I spoke the truth. See there, I told you I was right all along. That isn't love. That's pride. That's self-centeredness. But love says, when I've had a conversation with somebody and I discover I'm wrong and I discover truth beyond myself, I suddenly can be, with love, I can be able, free to say, oh, look, I was wrong, and now I see something beyond myself. Again, my statement is, love's beauty is the freedom to see beyond ourselves. Love lives large because love isn't afraid of who's right, and love isn't afraid of who's wrong. So if I'm wrong, love inside of me says, we don't have anything to be afraid of if we'll love and be able to own the wrong, be able to own the error of our ways, and be able to see beyond ourselves. That's what I want to talk to you today about in this quarantine time, being able to see beyond ourselves, looking beyond my needs. We've all joked and we've all had the conversation with all of our neighbors about the run on toilet paper during the quarantine. I laugh about it now, but when I first heard it, I was utterly perplexed. I was blown away. Like so many of you, I saw the news and I shook my head. I said, what is it about the need for toilet paper that has people going so crazy in their reach for toilet paper? That became kind of the seminal moment of the quarantine and facing COVID-19. Somehow or another, there was magic in having as much toilet paper as I could possibly stuff into my minivan or car. So, but after that run on toilet paper, I think it became a bit of a, not only a laughing point at ourselves, but it became an awareness point of our self-centeredness that we had been living in for so long up to this point, that suddenly it seemed like our survival instinct kicked in and said, oh my goodness, I better have all the toilet paper I can possibly get my hands on, rather than having a love value that was really pulling us forward and upward. Initially, now hear me out completely on this. Initially, we ran for self-sustaining, and then later we began to have some aha moments as time went on. I really think we started to realize, well, wait a minute, this quarantine may be more than 10 days. It may be more than 2 weeks. This could go on a while, and maybe there are better things in this world for me to be concerned about than just meeting my own needs, just taking care of me. Maybe I just had better find in myself a value outside of myself. So in our quarantine adventure, as it were, we've been forced to look at our truest priorities. We've been forced to slow down. That's one of the things I think has done us a lot of good in this time. Slow it all down. Slow down the pace of life. That's one thing I think we've all discovered on some level. And on other levels, I think we've all said for so long, I wish I could just slow it down a little bit. And then sometimes we've said, oh, you know, when I retire, I'll slow it down. It's, you know, life is happening right now. Life isn't waiting for your retirement. Life is happening right now in the middle of your pace, in the middle of your run. Life is going on right now at the speed of love. So slow it down to the speed of love. I think another thing we've learned during this time is to make sure that my neighbor is being taken care of. Make sure that I'm looking at my elderly neighbor and wondering, oh my goodness, they're probably afraid to get out. Maybe I should give them a call. Maybe I should knock on the door and through the window pane or something, have a conversation and ask them about how are your needs? Do you have enough toilet paper? Do you have milk and coffee? Do you have some bread? It's caused us to love our neighbor a little more. I think another value that's come our way that's been pretty powerful, pretty profound, is that we've become aware that the poorest among us, now listen to this carefully, the poorest among us are the most vulnerable. That we're learning that the COVID-19 death rates and the COVID-19 infection rates are at the largest percentages in poorer neighborhoods. And yeah, I know there's part of this that's the density of the neighborhood and urban areas. It also has something to do with poor health maintenance that's going on in the middle of some poverty structures. But it really does expose how the poorest among us have always been the most vulnerable. the poorest among us are always the folks that don't have the backup resources. They've always been the ones that didn't have an extra roll of toilet paper. They've always been the ones that were needing a can of coffee or an extra loaf of bread. They have always, you know what Jesus said, don't you? The poor you will always have among you. His statement there, I've heard some people twist that into meaning like, yeah, they're always going to be around, whatever. No, 1,000 times no. He was commiserating. He was sadly commentating on our cultures all through history, that somehow or another we always seem to manage to have people who are vulnerable, who are less fortunate, who are for whatever their reasons, and we have so many reasons we think people are poor, but whatever their reasons, they are always here. And we should always be attentive to them, because they're just always here. And it's a matter of looking beyond ourselves. I think another thing that has been very clear to us, really clear, I hope this is crystal clear to you, is that there's no government structure that's going to come save you when it comes to managing your life. It's not about looking for a big brother to help care for us. It's about loving our neighbors as ourselves, and even loving our enemies. When it really comes down to it, do you want an enemy when you really need a friend? Do you really want somebody who's at odds with you during this time? I don't think so. I think we're all looking for just a few more people I can rely on. That's happening. I said a couple of weeks ago on this broadcast that COVID-19, love is our vaccine. If there's going to be a vaccine to this medically, I sure hope it gets made and done and tested and distributed far and wide. But at the same time, we've got a vaccine, and every one of us have a vaccine right now in our hands. And love is the vaccine, and especially as it comes to the poor. I work with a community action program by the name of WestCap here in western Wisconsin. And WestCap works with multiple county region here in western Wisconsin. I help deliver over 700, it's between 700 and 750 boxes of commodity supplemental food to senior citizens who are on the margins for their income every month. And I get to see them up close and personal. These are senior citizens, 60 years old and a plus. I get to see them up close and personal. My personal witness over these past several weeks and prior to that, actually, is that these people genuinely are vulnerable. They are they're at risk, and we're the ones carrying their risk. So if we respond with love, we're looking beyond ourselves, then we have learned something about ourselves that is far more telling than any accusation or definition you might make of an older person or a younger person who may be poor. So the poorest among us with COVID-19 are the most vulnerable, and love is the only vaccine. I think another thing we've learned so much about here is that when it comes to family, and you're quarantined on some level with your family, then boy, oh boy, we're going to learn what love really is in our family. We're going to learn to love that person right next to us. And I'm fortunate. I got to tell you, I am so greatly, I don't even know how to describe it adequately, but my fortune is to have been married for 45 years to my bride, Ginger, who is probably sitting right next to me right now as we may be listening to this broadcast live when it comes out. And we sit together and tune into it for the purpose of making sure that I'm doing what I should be doing here, staying on task. She's the one who introduces this broadcast. She's the one who does the outro as well. So I'm fortunate. I have love. I have the love of my life, and we care for each other. We always say, it's you and me, babe. But we were saying that before the quarantine. We've been looking at each other and saying, it's me and you against the world. But now here we are, all of us, all the whole collective mess of us here in the United States especially. We're having to sit down next to the persons of our family, look them in the eye and say, well, it's me and you, kids. It's me and you, babe. It's me and you, uncle, auntie, grandpa, grandma, whoever it is that you live with. It's me and you. And now it's up to us to do the very best with each other to love one another, to care for our family in a way that's a little more than the average. And maybe all along it should have always been a little more than the average. Do you find that the people you love most are the ones you take for granted the most? Do you know of yourself? I do of myself. Do you know of yourself that when it comes right down to it, is the people you need the most are often the very same people we are not contributing the most to in terms of our best energies, our best thoughts, our best activities, our best whatever it may be. Now, I will say that when it comes to the people that you are closest to in family, whether it's your spouse or children, whatever, I think it's a very cool quality. I don't have a esoteric word for it, but it's cool that you can be together in silence for any length of time and not have to have a constant conversation about whatever, that you can be together in quiet. You can get in the car and go somewhere and not have to speak much because there's a lot of confidence and security there. But make sure, though, that in that silence, it isn't just a laziness. Make sure it's not a complacency of who you love the most, because that person you love the most is likely going to be, now drum roll please, that person you love the most right now will likely be the last person you'll see on this earth. That person right there that you may be right now taking the most for granted, they may be the very last person your eyes will see when you kiss life goodbye and you fall into the arms of God. I believe that when we live our life, this one and only shot we have here on earth, that we need to look at our family. Quickly I'll say, there are some whose family are made up not of blood, but of the closeness of covenant. I got your back, you got my back, and we'll carry each other through life. Some of our family are just like that. But whoever they are, we are in a moment where we're looking at the very people who are the most critical in our life for managing our quality of life forward. Can I just cut the BS with you and tell you, get up out of your stool of do nothing and do something extraordinary right now for the people you love most, for the people that love you the most, the people that would give their life for you if they could. Would you just with me get up out the stool of do nothing and do something beautiful for them? Because they need to know every day, sometimes multiple times a day, that they are just that special to you. They are just that important in your life. I've been a pastor for over 45 years, I can tell you, having witnessed people see their last breath on this earth, I will always say for eternity that nobody, no matter how poor they may be, no matter how vulnerable they may be for all the rest of their life, nobody deserves to die alone. There's nothing more sad to me than to imagine anyone being forced into the corner of dying alone. But that's not going to change suddenly at the end of life when all of a sudden now they're dying. We better get over there quick and be with them. No, it won't change then. It will change day by dreary day, by boring day, by do-nothing day. Being with somebody when they die doesn't happen when they die. Being with somebody is when every day has come and you've checked in to say, how are you? How's life? Are you okay? Isn't that what we're doing right now in the quarantine? Perhaps the quarantine is shouting at us, when this is over, and it will be over, do this every day. In fact, at the conclusion of this broadcast, I'm going to tell you, whatever you've learned about slowing down, whatever you've learned about loving your neighbor, whatever you've learned about the poorest among us who are the most vulnerable, and whatever you've learned about family, keep doing it. When the quarantine is done and COVID-19 is defeated and put in the dust and it's all over and the world can rise again from this moment of caution, this moment of perplexity, this moment of economic insecurity, this moment of just looking at our frailty as human beings. When this moment is done, and it will be done, and there will be better, 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 more beautiful days coming. I promise you, I know that to be true. But when that day has come, we need to carry with us these beautiful lessons that we're learning right now. And you know what? I'm telling you, everything we're learning right now has to do about love. Everything. Every last thing. Hasn't it done your heart good when you watch the news and when they're done, just, oh my goodness, sobering you with the statistics and the numbers and the ongoing challenges, especially in New York City and other places where this has been just ravaging folks. Doesn't it do your heart good when they conclude a broadcast with those feel-good stories of the doctors, the nurses, the ER ward teams that are working their fingers to the bone? Doesn't it do your heart good to see the cheering and they're clanging pots at a certain time of day in some cities? They're ringing bells. People are standing to their feet for the ordinary folk. I mean, doesn't it do your heart good? Forget about the news. No, what you should do when you go to the grocery store, when you have to, look at that clerk, look at those stock people that are putting grocery goods on the shelves. Look at them and say, oh, thank you. This is such a valuable service. Now, guess what? This is still going to be a valuable service when COVID-19 is defeated. All those little people, all those people punching a clock to see to it that your needs are met, we've always needed them. Now we simply are awakened. We've been awakened by the beauty of love to look at them and say, I can't live without you. I can't eat without you. I don't want to be gross here. So yeah, I can't even go to the bathroom without you stocking that toilet paper. Now listen, we are in a moment of calling our full attention to be at full awake, making sure that we are living this life beyond the idiocy of BS, of BSing one another, lying to each other about, oh, I'm doing fine, I'm doing great, looking at your friend and saying, boy, I hope you don't, when I ask you how you're doing, I hope you don't tell me how you're doing. No, we cut the BS, no more BS. We're going to look at each other with love, being alive to love. And when they say, how are you doing, and you're not doing well, look at your friend or your neighbor or whoever it is that's asking you, look at them and say, I'm having a tough time. I'm scared to death. This thing is starting to cause me anxiety and panic attacks that I can't manage. You know, we should have always, we could have, let's take the should out of it. Listen, we could have always been living at this higher value of love. And I'm a believer in the best of us. And I believe that we will remember these valuable lessons. One last thing before I'm done here. I'm kind of just commiserating with you. But I believe that we are in a time, too, where one of the great values that's happening to us is that we have an opportunity. Okay, let me go back to the premise of this broadcast, and that is from 1 Corinthians 13, and this statement that rolls up out of my heart. Love's beauty is the freedom to see beyond ourselves. Love lives large because love is not afraid of who is right and who is wrong. Love's beauty is the freedom to see beyond ourselves. I'm convinced that this will also become a time when we learn to listen at a more beautiful level, where we learn to listen to one another with more of a concerned and a consistent and a concentrated way. Concern, consistent, and concentrated way. To be perfectly honest with you, I'm not going to BS you. I'm 67. I have reached a stage in my life where I haven't been as concerned, consistent, and concentrated in my listening. I'm seeing myself getting lazy about being concerned, consistent, and concentrated. To be concerned, consistent, and concentrated, as you go into your 60s, 70s, and 80s, sometimes it feels like a little bit too much of a price to pay. Well, I'm discovering about myself, it is a price worth paying for the great gold and treasure of love. Concerned, consistent, concentrated listening. Concerned, consistent, and concentrated listening. The gravest, most grave errors of my life have been when I have not listened well. And when I haven't listened well, it's because I'm not loving well. So to be concerned, consistent, and concentrated in my love means I have to be my own drill sergeant. I've got to say, attention, Randy, stand up, Private Randy, get up and listen. Be concerned, consistent, and concentrated to what is being said right now, because these could be the last words you hear from that person, or these could be the most important words you hear from this person, or these could be the words this person is saying because they're desperate and they need love, and that love means you're concerned, consistent, and concentrated in listening. So there you have it. Let's be people who live beyond ourselves. Love's beauty is the freedom to live beyond ourselves. Love lives large because love is not afraid of who's right and who's wrong. And if I end up being the one wrong, love will teach me to say, okay, well, I've just learned something valuable about me. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. I will change that. Well, thanks for letting me unpack my heart. I am concerned that we live a life of love. Jesus made it very clear. 16 times from the Gospel of John through the Epistles of John, 16 times there's this one phrase, love one another, love one another, love one another. It's like a train, the old steam engine train sound, love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another. If every other value or virtue of Christianity or faith in our life isn't achieved, but we do reach for love, then maybe, just maybe, we have really achieved that which Jesus gave his life and was raised from the dead to bring us to new life. So as we close the broadcast, do it again with me. Here's my exercise. Take a deep breath. Exhale. It's been a tough week, hasn't it? Take a deep breath. Exhale. Just shrug those burdens off. You can't keep carrying these burdens for every day. One more time. One more inhale.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.